So in general, we know that women tend to work more in those jobs that were hard hit.
Tourism, hospitality, and other contact-intensive sectors came to a dead stop shortly after COVID-19 infections started to spread. But as the labor market readjusts to the new work environment, a new study using real-time data on job listings around the world reveals more women continue to drop out of the workforce.
That's a bit of a puzzling finding, that even jobs that are more conducive to working from home, in fact, their women also fared worse and disproportionately harder during the current crisis compared to men. So, hi, my name is Benji Chen. I'm a senior economist in the Asian Pacific department working on China.
And welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. I'm Bruce Edwards. As the global pandemic continues to decimate economies, official labor market data can paint a confusing picture of the actual job market as compilers struggle to make sense of it all. Benji Chen's new research uses real-time data to get a better idea of the types of jobs that are in high demand and how the crisis has fallen harder on women. Chen's article, Disparities in Real Time, is published in the December 2020 issue of Finance and Development magazine. So where does this data come from, and what does it tell us specifically about the impact of the pandemic on women?
So in this study, I'm actually using data from Indeed, which is a company that is a major provider of worldwide employment-related search engines for job listings. So imagine you're looking for a job, and nowadays we usually go online and look for job postings. So this company not only facilitates these job postings on their own site, but they also accumulate other job postings by firms, by other vendors, and then they collect them. So in essence, they have almost the universe of all online job postings within the country. And what they have done is, during this pandemic, some of their economists have reached out and said, would you in fact be interested in using this data for policy purposes at the IMF? And they also approached other organizations, government organizations, national organizations that might find it useful using this data. And so in the background, they clean this data to make sure it's consistent across these countries for which they provide this data. And we have about 22 countries in terms of the coverage. And so across these countries and across various sectors. And what's neat is this is real-time data. So we get actually an update every week from them. And this data is in daily frequency, and you can see in terms of really the number of postings, the trends, and they go back a few years. So it's not just that we have for this pandemic year, but also we have a baseline to compare to for 2018 and 2019 in particular. So what does this data tell us about the impact of the pandemic on women? After the outset of the COVID-19 pandemic, generally jobs postings fell precipitously. And you can see that in the data across the board for all these 22 different countries across all sectors. But once you actually dig in deeper into the data and differentiate those job postings with jobs that are highlighted with higher shares of female workers versus those with higher male workers, you can see that the drop in job postings for female worker, so there's a higher share of those, actually dropped more than those job postings with jobs with relatively higher male representation. And on average, across all sectors, across all these 22 different countries that we have, the difference in terms of these, in the gap between the job postings trends is about 6 percentage points. But it's not just that the difference is at the very beginning, but it's actually been very consistent, this gap, throughout the sample period. And the latest one that we have is actually for October. And so women were hit hard in terms of job opportunities across the board. It's not only those sectors that were high contact intensive or affected in terms of hospitality or tourism, those we do see, and the women fare worse there in terms of those jobs with higher female representation. But as the pandemic went on, even jobs later on that were more likely to be work from home or that were likely to be less contact intensive, we see also there that the job postings for jobs with more female representation fell by more compared to those for men. And so that gap looks to be sustained over time.
So there's also a significant, or this data also shows a significant drop in demand for low-skilled jobs generally. Where are those jobs going? And does this data provide any insight into developing and emerging market economies where there's normally a big demand for those types of jobs?
Yeah, that's a very good question. In fact, yes. So on your first question, in terms of the lower skill jobs postings, we also see a much bigger drop, especially in the early months of the pandemic when the lockdown measures went into effect. We see that, in fact, lower skill job postings went down by more compared to medium skill versus high skilled. But then as the pandemic went on, we see, in fact, that those jobs postings for lower skill, in fact, were catching up once, presumably, when the lockdown measures were lifted. So again, we know from existing data that lower skill jobs tend to be those jobs that were impacted very hard at the beginning of the pandemic in terms of the contact intensity that those required, et cetera. But as the pandemic went on, those actually tended to improve. Now, in terms of the second question for the emerging markets, this data set, unfortunately, covers only a few EMs, emerging markets. It covers Brazil, Mexico, Poland, and UAE. And from the literature, we know that emerging market countries have very different labor markets compared to those in advanced economies. And an important factor there are the informal sectors that can play a significant role in terms of overall employment. And generally, we think that job postings, online job postings, represent the more formal employment market. So there, we probably don't capture as well what's going on in terms of the informal sector. However, for those four countries for which we have the online job postings data, we do also see very precipitous drop in job postings, especially early on during the pandemic.
And so we have seen labor market data coming out since the outset of the crisis, you know, from the traditional sources, but it has been fairly confusing, leaving economists scratching their heads at times. Why has this data caused so much confusion?
Well, let me say first that most official statistics, generally speaking, especially in advanced economies, are reliable and still the gold standard for high quality economic research and the source to go for policymakers and researchers. But these are unprecedented times. And so as for the confusing official statistics, especially during the beginning of the crisis, one thing to remember is that a lot of employment, unemployment statistics in general, is being constructed based on surveys from people, households. And so you can imagine during the early months of the pandemic, amidst lockdown measures and fear of contracting the disease, it must have been very challenging to collect that data. And response rates were probably very low or lower than usual. And also workers that were collecting the data were limited in the tools that were available to them. So these are, again, truly unprecedented times. And then on top of everything, you had all of a sudden a lot of changes in employment statuses. So, for instance, there were various schemes that emerged ranging from furloughs, temporary layoffs, part-time jobs, absentee from work due to other reasons, temporary income support measures, etc. So a lot of these rapid changes that happened at unprecedented speed and scale might have led maybe to misclassifications in unemployment statuses. So it was very hard to get a complete and great picture during that time because people were not ready and equipped for those really fast changing terms of statuses. And so one of the advantages of using this real-time data, in particular as online job postings, is that it does not rely on surveys. And it gets as close as you could to the population of all online job postings collected on the internet for a country. And so there you can apply a consistent methodologies in the cleaning process across these countries, and therefore making sure that you can actually have a good comparison across those countries as well.
And so, you know, demand for jobs is falling in some sectors and rising in other sectors. How can this real-time data help mitigate the overall impact of these trends on the broader economy?
So as the crisis has progressed, we're seeing really widespread economic disruptions and dislocations of workers. And so unsurprisingly, at the beginning, we saw a lot of sectors that were mostly hit were those that were in contact-intensive sectors, mm-hmm. like hospitality, restaurants, tourism, personal services. And then as the pandemic progressed, the data shows us that job postings in healthcare and education actually began to rise again.
Yeah.
So what this real-time data on job postings can help us is identifying which sectors are shrinking in terms of demand and labor, and which others are growing. Now, of course, it remains to be seen if these trends hold in the long run.
Yeah.
But first, by identifying these sectors more in demand versus those that are shrinking, this data can really help us in shaping our policies and really making them targeted, aimed at easing the labor adjustment process that's occurring. Maybe some policies include worker retraining or training and hiring subsidies, particularly targeting workers from those shrinking sectors who are facing greater risk of unemployment.
So the pandemic has affected everyone across the globe in a lot of different ways. And while it was still a problem before COVID-19 hit, progress had been made toward closing gender gaps and addressing other inequalities within the economy. What do you think the legacy of this pandemic might be in that regard?
Yeah, I fear that the negative impacts on gender and other inequalities will last much longer than the pandemic itself, especially if left unaddressed. I mean, first of all, we can look at the immediate impacts, and particularly economic impacts of more women losing jobs in terms of the loss in wages and income that will hit the family, the community, if you add it up for the country in terms of overall value added loss that's counted in terms of GDP. But unfortunately, there are also longer term effects and snowball effects from these lost jobs for women. And in particular, we've seen now in many statistics that women also tend to leave the labor force at a higher rate than men. And leaving the labor force altogether, meaning they stop looking for employment, could have long-lasting negative impacts on future life besides the loss of income. Think about savings, retirement savings, for instance. And we also know from existing literature that once women in particular have left the workforce, if they want to come back later on, it's much harder to come back in the same level as before and at the same level of income and position as they had. And in particular, this is very troublesome for lower income families, because there you have really a very important source of income that's now being lost. And given these trends that we have right now with a lot of families really struggling as the economy is in such turmoil, this important source of income is a very crucial part for the family. Now, there are also macroeconomic impacts and secondary impacts. If women that are important representations of the overall workforce are leaving the workforce and also scaling back the employment, overall, you can see that spending is going down. So in terms of overall consumption, we also see negative impacts of that. And then there are also, I think, to keep in mind, in terms of the women who are actually still working, quote unquote, the lucky ones who have a job, and they have to shoulder much more burden because of all the other impacts that are going on. A lot of times the lack of childcare due to closed daycares during these times, due to virtual schooling, And from a lot of surveys and existing studies, we have seen that women tend to disproportionately take on the burden at home. So that together also have health risks in terms of physical and mental health and the risk of burnout during these times.
Fenji Chen, senior economist in the IMF's Asia and Pacific Department. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Look for Fenji Chen's article, Disparities in Real Time, published in the December 2020 issue of Finance and Development magazine. Go to imf.org/FND to read it online, or download the Finance and Development app to read it on your mobile device. And look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe if you like what you're hearing. You can also follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.